I don't know. Maybe I'll just walk the median of 192 with the homeless people and try to sell stuff.
Need swizzle sticks?
Right, right. Wear like a big raincoat.
There you go.
Yeah.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying the fall weather down here in sunny Florida.
Yeah. Only 90 degrees today?
Yeah.
Because that's what it is here.
Yeah. It's great. Some people were saying it was like 71 this morning. It's like, yeah, I wasn't up that early. So you enjoy. I'm good.
Yeah, that's like middle of the night stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still kind of nasty.
Might be getting a hurricane next week for you.
We could.
Yeah.
We could. That could be exciting. See what happens, what blows away this time.
Yeah. Big. They upped the chances. It's now 80% formation.
That's great. The one model I saw showed it in the Gulf and kind of swinging across the country in northern Florida. Yeah. So I don't know how much that would do, because that's what the last one did, and that didn't really do much for us. So you can have this one too. I'll let you.
All right, thanks. I need another new fence, so, you know.
Yeah.
Let it blow down the back fence this time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So what's new?
What's going on?
Beat you to
nothing,
it.
Really. Yeah. Nothing really.
No?
Apparently, there are black Nazis? That's news to me.
Well, just one. Just the big black Nazi in North Carolina. Yeah, I mean, weird that they're distancing themselves from him, but not the orange guy.
Right. You know, that's what the whole thing is.
What, that he's a black Nazi?
That he's a black Nazi.
Well,
so I guess that's a gimme. Does he wear like a gray sheet? Is that what it is?
Maybe.
Oh, I don't know. What is it, 45 days left?
Yeah.
Till the end of the world? Well, at least we don't have cell phones and walkie-talkies blowing up on the streets.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Probably because we don't really use...
walkie-talkies and pagers?
Oh, it's pagers. Pagers. Yeah. Yeah, pagers and walkie-talkies. That's why it's going to be a third world country.
I mean, it's like the 90s over there. It's like, you know, they're all using pagers and stuff, and it's like, what the hell, man?
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that whole thing is crazy. Like, why can't we just let people live their lives? I mean, terrorist groups are bad and you should get rid of those, but like those civilians didn't do anything to the government. Like, they're being hated on for who they are, and that's just wrong.
Right.
But, you know, the world hasn't learned anything in 100 years, so...
100 years? Thousands of years.
Well, but, you know, time for the rise of another Hitler.
Yeah, I guess.
Question is that going to be black Hitler, or is that going to be orange Hitler?
Who knows? Who knows?
I mean, I will say that I do not put any stock in any... in any polls that I see, because I feel like they're not being done correctly.
No, I saw one today that said that educated white men who are concerned about the economy are trending towards Trump.
Yeah, see, I just don't believe that.
Is it educated slash ignorant?
I gotta feel like the polls that are being done, well, one, they don't take into account all the new registered voters that, mm-hmm. you know, has happened since Harris has entered the race. They're only calling established people that have voted either Republican or Democrat. And if you call 100 of each, you get 50-50 down the middle. Like,
sure. Like, if the Democrats answer their phones.
Exactly. And I have seen so many things of like Republicans being like, yeah, I can't vote him back in. Like, I'm going to vote for Harris this time. That those poll numbers don't make any sense to me. And I may be naive because I don't want him back in, but I just don't see. I got to imagine that like the actual numbers are going to be wildly different on election day.
We can only hope.
Yeah.
We can only hope. But, you know, maybe there's room over where Diddy's camping out. You know, there's an open room next door.
What, in that jail cell?
Yeah. Ebony and ivory.
I mean, it's an interesting time that there are people being held accountable for their actions. And like, you know,
some people are being held accountable.
Well, black people.
Of course.
But on the other side of that, like what he's done is fucking horrible. Like if what they're saying about him is true. And the amount of Hollywood people that are going to go down with him is kind of interesting.
Well, we all thought that about Epstein. And what's happened with that? Big fat nothing.
Well, that's because the guy that's going to suffer the most is running for president.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, they're burying that until they don't need Trump anymore. And then all of a sudden it's going to be like, oh, now we have like video of him raping the 12-year-old girl, you know.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But I mean, I've heard all kinds of things from like, this may be the reason why Ben Affleck divorced J-Lo is because
I heard that too.
She was going to those parties. And if what's to be believed about those parties is true, like mm-hmm. she's done some fucked up shit. And like, can you blame Ben Affleck then? Not really.
Oh no.
You know, there's all kinds of like, and apparently there's been people on TV that have been showing like old interviews of him on like, Conan O'Brien, where Diddy's talking about, oh yeah, we get a bunch of girls and then we lock the door, and Conan's like, well, that doesn't sound good, and he's like, oh, it's fine. It's like, so he's been admitting to it for forever. He just didn't think right. he was going to be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's a very interesting time in America. I'm sure if Trump gets back in, he'll pardon all those people. So you know. You know, is it as bad as the fucking cop in wherever it is that's telling Trump supporters to write down the addresses of Harris supporters? Like, that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is going on in this country?
And wouldn't you think something like that would be grounds to be escorted away?
But you have to remember that the Fraternal Order of Police, who's supposed to be like the final say in law and order in the country, is backing the fucking convicted felon. It's not about like,
who's
the best. Oh, like crap. They're just, what's the matter?
Can we pause?
Yep.
My neighbor's at the door.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. We're back. I don't remember what we were talking about, though.
We were talking about black people being held accountable and the sheriff. It's a sheriff who's telling people to take down the names of.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just a fucked up situation. Like, there's all these things that are being put in place to, like, sway the vote because Republicans know that they can't win fairly. And it's just like, that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're subverting the will of the people then. Like, the very thing that you claim to care about. But, you know, I guess I just don't understand politics enough.
Yeah. I think the only ones who understand politics are the ones who are screwing it up.
Yeah. Well, did you watch anything fun this week?
Yeah, I've been watching not as much as last week because I was busy a few nights at work, but
right.
Yeah. So Only Murders.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another great episode.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the stuntman funeral.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was hilarious. I wasn't sure if Paul Rudd's character was just pretending to be the stunt guy, but I guess he's playing a different character this season.
Well, it was funny because he does the voiceover in the beginning of the episode. And
right.
I'm like, that's Paul Rudd's voice. And I'm like, but Paul Rudd's dead in this. Like, his character's dead. It was the entire last season. I was like, it's got to be somebody else. It's got to be somebody that sounds like him. And sure as right. shit, he pops up. And I'm like, well, this is interesting. And then, like, when they're out on the street and he's like, here, watch me throw myself into this dumpster.
Right.
And, like, it's funny because it's very clearly Paul Rudd to a point, and then the camera switches and it's very clearly a stunt guy. And then
yes.
the stunt guy jumps off and gets, and the camera switches back and it's Paul Rudd that gets out of the dumpster. And you're like, I see what you're doing there. Okay. I got it. It's just very funny. It's just the idea of like the stuntman funeral and like, you know, they're using breakaway bottles until they don't.
Right, right.
You know, that was pretty funny. I mean, the squatters, like, it's not that like anybody on the other side is wanting to kill anybody. It's that they're paying $200 in rent to live in this gigantic building, and like they don't want to ruin their ride because
yes,
you know, which I guess is going to play into that at some point, but
mm-hmm.
because there is still the mystery of who killed Zaz.
Is as dead.
Well, I mean, we saw her get shot last season.
Well, we saw her get shot, and they pulled her hip replacement out of the furnace.
Right.
But, I mean, that would be an interesting twist if she faked her own death for some reason.
Right.
But, yeah. I mean, they're doing great. Keep it up, folks.
Yep.
Well, I watched that. I watched the first two episodes of Agatha.
Mm-hmm. So did I.
I really like it so far. I loved the first episode.
It's very different than what I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't feel very Marvel. Which is not a bad thing. It's not a complaint,
right.
but it seems to be a feature and not a bug. You know, there's all of these, hints at a bigger story with Wanda and like, so her body shows up in Westview and they never really show her face. Cause I guess they couldn't get Elizabeth Olsen to like cameo or whatever as a dead body.
Right.
But you know, the toe tag, which ends up being like the ticket from the library winds up with her name
yeah.
and then like Agatha's name. And, but all of that is actually within, I guess in Agatha's head. Like there was this weird thing that was going on where she meets this young teenager guy who breaks into her house and she arrests because
right.
she's a cop, but like she's not really a cop. She's being helped along, I guess, by the townsfolk of Westview. Like it's a very weird, like they don't really explain it very well.
Well,
as
I mean,
to
are
what's
they are they are the townsfolk still under the spell until Agatha's spell is broken?
I don't think so. I think because the way that the neighbor put it was like, you've been living there for 3 years and we're just kind of helping you. And like the mailbox is like chock full of stuff. And so like it's weird because like they're introducing all these characters and it's like, oh, that guy was in WandaVision and that guy was in WandaVision.
Yeah. Well, they all were.
Right. And so like, you know, the guy that's supposed to be the police chief, is he really the police chief or is he not? Like, they
but
don't.
Why would they?
I don't
make
know.
Up lives to go along with. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, because
it's very weird.
It seems like people knew when Agatha goes back to the empty lot where Wanda's house stood, there are like, there's graffiti on it about the Red Witch and Wanda's
right.
logo and stuff. So it's not like they're all still under Wanda's curse. So I'm not really sure how it all plays out. And I don't know if they're going to explain it or if you're just supposed to be like, Agatha was given a new life and now this kid shows up and ruins those plans. Which is another interesting mystery that, like, she can't hear his name. And when they're driving in the car and she's like, tell me about yourself, all of a sudden she can't hear him anymore.
Right.
I think it's one of Wanda's kids.
Oh, really?
I think it's Billy. Because Billy is the one that takes after
the mother,
Wanda, and then
right.
Tommy is the one that has the speed.
Right.
So, because the last time we saw the twins, they were probably 13-ish, and he says he's 16 here, and they make a point of saying that Agatha's been under the 3 years. But that also doesn't make any sense because those kids didn't really exist. So, I don't know. There's going to have to be some big explanation along the way somehow for all this.
Yeah. I think the rabbit is Agatha's kid.
Yeah, that could be too. But when did she have a kid? Like, did she ever talk about that in WandaVision?
I don't think so, but she has a kid in the comics.
Okay. Because at first, that's who I thought the teenager was. I was like, well, they make a point of showing the kid's room, and then he shows up, and I'm like, oh, he's there. You know, he's there, and it's going to turn out to be that it's her kid and stuff, and apparently not.
Okay.
I don't know.
Weird. I mean, I really liked the first episode. I thought everything they did in it was very clever.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's like, I'm watching it and, you know, the credits are going. It's like, but those aren't the actors. Those are the names of their characters. And,
right, exactly.
Okay. And then, you know, it you know, it shows you that it's a, you know, a Swedish true crime TV show.
Yep.
It's like, okay. There are an awful lot of Wizard of Oz references in it.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Are you sure she's dead? Oh, she's most sincerely dead.
Yep.
It's like, okay. Yeah. I mean, I hear it's not doing well on Rotten Tomatoes, but
of course not.
I like it. I like it. And I like that, Aubrey Plaza is not playing the same obnoxious characters she plays in everything else.
Right.
Because I think she was the worst thing for me on Parks and Rec.
She was a little unbearable on Parks and Rec.
And I was like, oh, crap. If she's going to be the same, you know, if she's only got one role in her mind and she's always playing herself. But, I mean, she hasn't done much yet.
Right.
But I did love when Agatha started to reawake and she's like, do you remember why you hate me?
Yeah. It's got 80 and 81 on the Rotten Tomato meter.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Then maybe it's gotten better since the last time I read something. And boy, that musical number, huh? Could that have gone on for another 20 minutes?
I mean, that did feel a little long. And I know what they were trying to do with building the tension with the whoever the robed figures are that are walking towards mm-hmm. the house, and like, are they going to beat them in time and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
I do kind of feel like they should have given, what's her name? Deborah Jo Rupp, a uh-huh. different character trait than Kitty Foreman.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that she does that voice and stuff, but at the end of the day, like, I'd like to see her do something a little different. Like, stretch as an actor. Like,
right.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, she was Phoebe's sister-in-law on
yeah.
Friends when yeah. she married Phoebe's brother.
Right.
And she was in another show. Don't remember how long ago it was. Another sitcom where she played more of a socialite than a
a housewife.
I want to say, yeah, Mrs. Foreman.
Yeah, I mean, that's like everything that she's doing here is that 70s show. The
yep.
the head bobs and the cluelessness, like, that's Kitty Foreman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like she didn't do that in WandaVision, and you know, I'd like to see that version as opposed to just like Kitty Foreman and Agatha all along.
Right.
Little shocked that Disney Plus was okay with showing Catherine Hahn's ass. What?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not usually a Disney Plus thing, so.
Disney's getting a little more tolerant,
I guess,
of the new world. Yeah, interesting.
And I did like, we were talking about that first episode, I did like when she was coming out of the spell at the morgue, she was going through all the costumes from WandaVision.
Yes, yes.
And became black and white. Like, I yes. really dug that. I thought that was really done really well.
Yeah.
But there's 9 episodes to this season, if you want to call it that, whether this is a season or not. So they've already blown through 2.
All right.
But now they're on the road to see the wizard, I guess, to get her powers back.
Right. We'll see what happens. Yeah. I like it so far.
Yeah. Did you watch Rings of Power?
I did watch Rings of Power. Yeah. I thought this episode was a little boring compared to the first few.
They're definitely in, like, storytelling mode of like getting people in the place for whatever's coming at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
The moving of the furniture to get them to where they need to be.
Right.
But I mean, I liked the idea that the influence of Sauron is far beyond what people think it is, where, Celebrimbor or whatever his name is, the actual like blacksmith that's making the rings, how everybody thinks that he's in charge, but he's really being corrupted by Sauron.
Right.
to the point where like the village is getting attacked, and he goes out and it's a bright sunny day and everybody's just like happy as can be.
Yep.
And like there's this really cool shot where he goes back inside and it follows Sauron around and everything becomes dark and people are screaming and like that. I thought that was done really well. I thought like, you know, the showing of what Sauron's power really is something that hasn't really been explored in a visual medium like this. So being that like Sauron is like in the first 2 minutes of the first movie and is just a big flame eye for the rest of, you know, the rest of the movies, I thought this was, right. You know, this is the story that I'm like most interested in. I don't really care about Gandalf and how he comes to like love hobbits and shit, but like,
yeah,
you know, this of like Sauron and his rise to power and like the fake out of like Adar killing him and then him coming back and stuff. And it gives a little bit more gravitas to what Frodo and Sam actually accomplished by destroying the ring, you know, as opposed to, you know, oh, well, you know, this was his power and now he's gone. But it's going to be, I think it's going to be interesting to see where the show gets to as far as, are we going to go into the first war with Sauron that we kind of see in the beginning of Fellowship of the Ring?
Right.
And how that plays out with Galadriel and the dwarves and all that stuff, or, you know, or are they going to bring it to a point and be like, well, if you want to see more, this is where the movies pick up. But there was also a report, I guess, that Andy Serkis is doing another couple of Lord of the Rings movies.
Oh, really?
Because they had talked.
Oh, yeah. I did see something.
They talked to Ian McKellen about coming back as Gandalf. And he was like,
right.
Well, when I see a script, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what they could do with it.
It's called The Hunt for Gollum.
Oh.
And Andy Serkis is directing it with Peter Jackson producing.
Okay.
Huh. Okay. I hope it's not something they're announcing to see if people are interested enough to actually go forward with it, like they're doing with the Goonies revival.
Oh, I heard that was dead.
Well, I don't know. According to Sean Astin.
Oh, really?
It's still happening. But according to Martha Plimpton, she's like, we haven't seen anything.
Yeah, I mean, there were a bunch of people. There were a bunch of that cast that said, no, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Because like they were talking about Spielberg directing, and it was like he's not gonna take
really?
His time out to do fucking Goonies 2.
No.
I mean, if he's not gonna do the last Indiana Jones film, he's not gonna do Goonies 2.
Nope.
It just sounds like one of those games where like somebody's trying to get you to believe something, and it's like they're gonna do a Goonies part two and the entire cast is on board and Spielberg is directing, yeah, you know, just to see what how people would react. And I just don't think people were buying it, and then the cast was like, yeah, no thanks. So I watched a movie that you had kind of recommended to me.
Yeah.
I watched The Fall Guy.
Okay.
Because it wound up on Peacock.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And there was an extended version of it on Peacock, which is the one that I watched, so I have no clue what was added and what wasn't.
Okay.
But for the most part, I really enjoyed the film. I thought it was...
Yeah.
And it could have been that it was the extended edition. I felt like it was a little long.
Okay.
But I really, really, I've said this before in the show, I think Ryan Gosling is a very underrated performer.
Okay.
I think that he's done comedy, he's done action, he's done, you know, sci-fi. He is very versatile as an actor. and this was no different. Like, this this is very inside baseball of like movie making and stuff, to the point where like it's directed by a stunt guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they highlight a bunch of stunt things in it of how that works, and like, but for the most part, I really enjoyed it. It's very much a fun popcorn movie, and like,
yeah,
you know, it can be. I should probably watch the regular one to see like the differences, but like,
yeah,
I really dug it, and I really liked the chemistry between him and Emily Blunt, and you know, I just thought like, if you're going to revive a show from the 80s, do one that like not a lot of people remember and you can put your own spin on, and you know, that's what you get with this, and I really enjoyed it.
Yep.
Thought it was very cool.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
And I wasn't expecting, because I didn't look at the cast list, I wasn't expecting, what's his name that was Quicksilver in Age of Ultron?
Oh, really?
To be the guy that he was, like, doubling.
Yes.
Like, he popped up, and I was like, oh, that dude. And, because he's always been, like, ever since the Avengers, he's always been like, well, I'm doing things now that are more artful, and like, you know, he did like Bullet Train and stuff where he kind of pushed his acting and stuff, but this is more of just like a sleazy actor, which, you know,
right.
I guess I wasn't expecting him to be cast in.
Well, you know, that Marvel paycheck.
Yeah. And maybe it was getting the work of Ryan Gosling. I don't know.
Yeah, could be. Could be. I also watched a movie.
Okay. What'd you watch?
I watched the original Superman.
Okay.
For the most part, it still stood up for me.
Mm-hmm.
Except the beginning of the movie is just dreadful.
It's long. That is a long fucking movie.
It's long, and the quote-unquote special effects are horrible. And Marlon Brando? It's like, all right. And from what I hear, Brando was like his typical asshole self on the set.
Yeah.
And he got like $3 million, almost $4 million, plus like 12% of the back end.
Yeah, it was crazy because they just wanted him in the movie.
Right. And Christopher Reeve only got $250,000.
And didn't Brando gets higher billing than Christopher Reeve, doesn't he?
I think so.
Yeah. But once it,
but yeah,
but that movie really picks up once he becomes Superman. Like once they're done with the history lesson in the Fortress
right.
of Solitude, then it's like, okay, this is where the movie starts.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, Christopher Reeve and Margot Kidder and Gene Hackman, and I mean, it was all a really good cast.
Yeah.
And it has that humor to it that like Marvel is doing.
Yep.
As opposed to like the Batman movies that came out, you know, later than this.
Yeah.
That were, you know, more serious.
Yeah. There was still a sense of fun. It still felt like a
yes.
comic book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. When he's on the boat and he gets hit with the crowbar,
mm-hmm.
and he turns around and he's like, bad vibrations? Or when Air Force One gets struck by lightning and he goes
yes.
and he's acting as the engine, and the pilot's like, what happened? Did we get our engine back? And he's like, fly. Don't look. Just fly.
Right.
Like, there's definitely... And even casting people like... not Warren.
Cliff Robertson?
No. Beatty.
Ned Beatty.
Like, as Otis, and, like, Otis is just a ridiculous character. Like, Otis would never have survived Lex Luthor with the way he acts.
No, no.
Here's a trivia question for you. Do you know how Superman and Star Wars are connected? And I'll give you a hint. It's not the music. It's not who made the music.
They reused the set for Krypton as the trench for Death Star?
Nope.
Cary Elwes was an intern on both movies?
No. Nope.
Superman and Star Wars.
Yes.
Superman and Star Wars. John Dykstra?
Nope.
Yes? No?
No, nope. Not John Dykstra.
No?
Nope.
Gene Hackman was going to be Darth Vader?
Nope. Give up?
I don't know. That's a tough one.
Okay. When I tell you, you're going to be like, holy shit. So there is in Lex's lair a control panel that is the same one from the Death Star that Luke and Han sit in front of when, where did you dig up that old fossil? That scene?
I
guess his stuff was shot in Elstree Studio where they had shot Star Wars a couple of years before and needed set dressing. And so when Otis is being followed through the railway and Lex sits down at the console, that's the Death Star console to push the cop off of the tracks and into the path of the train.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is.
Yep.
Although there's a Reddit that says they are nearly identical.
Oh, it's the same one. Even if they change it a bit, it's from the Death Star.
Actually, they're video switchers for TV broadcast.
Well, some of that is, yeah. But I mean, you can even see like the Empire like white outline boxes that were on all of those things. That's all over that console.
Yep. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Cray cray.
I mean, and it's interesting because that must have been, I don't know what year they shot Superman. It came out in 79. And you would think that, like, even at that time, with as big as Star Wars was in 77, that they'd be like, aren't people going to recognize this? And, you know, somebody probably went, nah, who cares?
But, you know, they really didn't, because look at how much stuff out of the makeup department was reused for the cantina.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a history of just, you know, the props people being scavengers.
Well, yeah.
And going, oh, this is cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, IG-88's head is in the cantina.
Yeah, it's a Mercedes-Benz jet engine.
Yeah, it's a drink dispenser in the cantina.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And there's all those videos online of, like, especially, like, back in the early days of Hollywood where you can really watch props go from one production to another from the same studio. Like, there's a whole lot of those from, like, Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, set pieces show up and something else years later. And, I mean, even in the 80s, like, there are PKE meters from Ghostbusters in Suburban Commando, the Hulk Hogan film. Like,
right.
You know, it's just like we need a tech device. Well, this is laying around in the prop room. Well, wasn't that on Ghostbusters? Yeah, who cares? Just, you know.
Right.
And I don't think today that would happen. I don't think, like, because everything is, like, IP owned now. I think it'd be very rare to see anything pop up, especially from big, like, tentpole stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, if you watch the original Superman, Lex's console is the Death Star console.
Wow.
Yeah. One thing, so I did, I've rewatched that in the past couple of months, and one of the things that I was curious about is Lex. So Lex's big plan. Let's talk about Lex's big plan for a second. He hijacks and recodes two nuclear weapons that are fired from, I guess, the center of the country to take out land so that he can have waterfront properties. Which, whatever. Sounds far-fetched, but like, you know, as there are supervillains today, that doesn't sound so far-fetched. He sends one of the nuclear bombs to Hackensack, New Jersey.
Right.
Which is way close to where Metropolis should be. How was he expecting to survive that?
Well, he's beneath the ground. He's in his underground lair.
And he's got like stockpiles of food for a couple of decades that he then he can go out and like, this is all mine.
Well, there's all that there's all that food left over from when they filmed Brando's scene, because that's how they got him out of his trailer.
This way to craft services. I don't know. I know it's a movie and I know it's almost 50 years old or whatever, but I don't know. This was the first time when I was like, because Miss Tessbacher says, my mother lives in Hackensack, and he looks at his watch.
Yes.
and shakes his head no. And I'm like, I'm thinking of the distance, because this metropolis is basically New York, as opposed to other versions of the DC universe where Metropolis and Gotham are like, you know, there's a thing where Metropolis is actually like Chicago as opposed to New York, and Gotham is really New York, and like there's even some maps that have like Metropolis is New York and Gotham is like Atlantic City. And so like there's never really been a thing about where this is all placed, but they shoot New York, they show Twin Towers, they show all of the landmarks in New York, so you're like, oh, that's New York. And then it's like, but Hackensack is really close. So I don't know. Maybe it's that old man thinking in me. I just can't enjoy a movie. I have to overthink everything now.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
Did you happen to watch Penguin yet? I have not.
I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't gotten around to that. The only other thing that I did watch was I watched the new season of Tulsa King.
Oh, okay.
Which is the Stallone show.
Yep.
And that's been pretty good. That's only got one episode out for season two, but it's got a really good supporting cast and stuff, so it's always fun to watch.
Cool.
But Penguin is on my list for this week.
Yeah, mine too.
Did you watch anything else?
I don't think so.
No.
I didn't keep a list this week. I'm slacking.
Well, you've been busy.
Slacking. Life gets in the way.
It does. It does. Anybody die this week? Do we have any celebrity deaths?
Yes. Who was it? J.D. Souther.
Okay, you're going to have to...
A songwriter back in the 70s, collaborated with the Eagles, Linda Ronstadt, wrote Best of My Love, Heartache Tonight. I want to say New Kid in Town.
Okay.
Anyway. He was like 307. No, he was 78.
Okay.
Some Girl from America's Got Talent. The Younger Brother of Johnny Cash.
That one I did read.
Dutch from Karate Kid.
Oh yeah, I did see that. Which is interesting because in Cobra Kai his character is in jail.
And yes.
So like there was always a thought of like, oh, he's like one of the last people to show up, and no. Nope.
Yeah, too late.
Yep. Tito Jackson died too.
Oh yeah, right. That's right.
One of the Jackson Five.
Yeah.
No, there's only three? Or
Jermaine, Rebe, and Janet? Who else is around?
Jermaine, Tito, Jackie, Marlon, and Randy?
Randy, yeah.
There were six Jacksons in the Jackson Five?
It was the Jackson Five plus Michael.
Oh, was that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I guess some of them are still alive.
Well, that's good. Here's another one. You probably don't know the name. Peter Renaday. He was a voiceover actor who was Splinter in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series.
Okay.
Did a bunch of voiceover stuff.
Okay.
Darkwing Duck, Alvin and the Chipmunks, Animaniacs, Gargoyles, Superman the animated series. Also did a lot of stuff for Disney.
Oh, okay.
He was Henry the Bear in Country Bear Jamboree.
Oh.
And he was the voice of Captain Nemo.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, there you go. There's your useless information for the week. Going back to Power of the Rings for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the Rankin-Bass animated musical? I think it was Return of the King. There's a song in there that the orcs are singing on their way to the war.
Okay.
And Bear McCreary, who's writing the music for Powers?
Yeah,
thinks it would fit right in with his score.
Okay,
it's like, oh, that's interesting.
I mean, it is cool. Like Bear McCreary, like the first time I think I ever really paid attention to his music was Battlestar Galactica, in where he interwoven for an entire season all along the Watchtower.
Right.
Into the finale. Like there was a season long thing where like there were these notes that Starbuck kept hearing, and it was all along the Watchtower. And so he's always been good at like coming up with ideas like that. So I'm not surprised that he's bringing that kind of into, you know, looking around at like what he can take from those animated cartoons. And like, didn't the Beatles want to do a Lord of the Rings adaptation?
Really?
Wasn't there?
I don't remember that. Yes, they did.
Okay. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he was looking at through all that stuff as well, of like, you know, what did they do, and like, how can we, you know.
Oh, so apparently the Beatles had one more movie left on their contract with UA. And the guy who had produced Help and Yellow Submarine had pitched Lord of the Rings. And they were really interested in it.
Yeah, John Lennon would have been Gollum.
Yep.
Paul McCartney would have been Frodo. George Harrison would have been Gandalf. And Ringo Starr would have played Sam.
Interesting.
It's interesting that Sam and Frodo were the only ones left of the Beatles.
Yeah.
Apparently,
the most and the least talented.
According to Peter Jackson, it was Tolkien himself that stopped the Beatles from making the Lord of the Rings film. Ultimately, they couldn't get the rights from Tolkien because he didn't like the idea of a pop group doing his story.
Boy, if there was only like some secret B-roll of that somewhere.
Yeah.
That would have been wild.
I mean, Paul McCartney got to be a pirate, though, in Pirates of the Caribbean 4? Was it 4?
Yes.
Something like that. So, you know.
Yeah.
And Ringo Starr got to be Mr. Conductor from
Thomas the Train. Yep. Yeah.
So they both acted. It's all good.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I watched one more thing.
Okay.
On sometimes Prime uncovers the most bizarre shit.
Uh-oh.
So they have the first two seasons of the Croft Super Show. I don't know if you remember this.
Kind of.
But they had this fake glam rock band called Captain Cool and the Kongs. And they it was kind of like Banana Splits. Like the Banana Splits weren't the focus of the show. They were just kind of like the in-between the serials filler.
Right.
You know, they do a song or whatever, and then you see like, you know, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer or Danger Island or, you know, one of those things. And this is kind of the same format.
Okay.
But boy, is it trippy. It's just crazy. I mean, there's Dr. Shrinker with Billy Barty, and there's Far Out Space Nuts with Jim Nabors and Ruth Buzzy as robot aliens.
Wow.
Captain Cool was Michael Lembeck, whose father was Harvey Lembeck, who was in like a bunch of the Beach Party movies with Frankie and Annette.
Right.
And then Michael Lembeck was, I want to say that he played Mackenzie Phillips' husband on One Day at a Time.
Okay.
And then in 6 Degrees of Separation, I actually worked with him when I was doing props on Wienerville.
Oh, nice.
Because he was a producer.
Oh.
So, yeah, these things are kind of crazy. Electra Woman and Dinah Girl. Hopefully they have some ISIS.
I'm looking at the like cover page on Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some interesting looking people.
They are.
Very 70s.
Incredibly 70s. And the effects are horrible. Sid Haig is in it.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Before he turned to horror?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. He played a genie on Electra Woman and Dinah Girl.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So the name of the band is Wonderbug?
No, Wonderbug is a old dune buggy that has magic powers.
Oh.
The band is Captain Cool and the Kongs.
Okay, gotcha. They sing Get Dancin' in the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's bad, but it's good bad.
Are they memorable songs like when the Brady Bunch, you know, would sing their songs in the middle of their show?
Nope, not at all. Nope. Nope, and it's not like the Hamlet song from Gilligan's Island.
Right.
When Phil Silvers came to the island and puts on a play.
How stupid.
Or the anniversary song from the Flintstones.
I don't know if I remember that one.
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, okay. Happy anniversary, happy anniversary. Or the other song from the Flintstones, Here We Come on the Run with a burger on a bun and a side of fries on the side.
I remember that one too.
Your taste we will tickle with a cold dill pickle, and all of our potatoes are fried. Our service can't be beat because we grind our own meat. Grind. Fred and Barney Rubble, you're going to be in trouble. I can't remember the last line.
Oh my God, that was so funny. I haven't thought about that song in years.
Yeah.
Oh my
Crazy,
God.
Huh?
Yeah.
And life goes on.
But you don't remember Get Dancing, huh?
Nope.
Or Going Home?
Nope.
Gonna Get Your Love?
Nope.
No?
It sounds like really bad Casey and the Sunshine Band. You know, Boogie Shoes.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like that.
Wow. Was that recommended to you? How did you find that?
I was scrolling through comedy TV shows.
Oh, okay.
And came across it.
See, you do far more work than me, because I just look at, like the front page of, like, you know, what's top rated movies, what's like movies they think they'll all like. I never go through like the catalog.
No?
No.
Well, that's how bored I guess.
But that, now I'm curious. Because it's so,
I mean,
it's so shit, like the way that their stuff is set up.
Mm-hmm.
Like I clicked on movies and it's just like, here's movies that we think you'll like and here's some top rated movies. But like, I don't see like where I would look at comedy films or, I don't know.
It was on the front, or the front page, the page that has the different recommendations.
Uh-huh.
But instead of like, I scroll past like the six or seven that have icons to see what else is there.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, good stuff.
This is always the last service that I look at for content.
Yeah.
Although you can watch Howard the Duck, leaves in 9 days.
I already have.
Oh, okay.
We talked about it.
Well, you can watch it again.
He gets a job at a sex club.
Yep. He's like the jizz mopper.
That's him.
And he has sex with Leah Thompson.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Weird movie.
Yeah.
But part of the Marvel Universe.
It is. Officially.
Yep. Fun.
Yeah, there's all these things that are like Prime exclusives that I've never heard of.
Yeah.
It also doesn't help that like they put commercials in these movies now.
No, that's irritating. And sometimes the commercial, like the movies are not cut in a way to facilitate.
Yeah.
So just a commercial, like stops. So like it just cuts. Yeah.
Middle of a sentence.
Yeah, it's like, I'm paying how much now? And
did you ever hear the, I think it was in Brazil, I think it was in the late 80s, early 90s, they had gotten the rights to show the first three Star Wars films. And so
they put the beer commercials,
in them. And
yes.
like all of a sudden Obi-Wan would reach for the lightsaber and he'd take out a beer and then jingle would play and then he'd go right back into the movie.
Yes.
Like crazy shit. And I was like, wow. Okay. And I'm surprised Amazon doesn't do that shit where like it turns into an Amazon commercial.
Yeah. Well, you can tell they're definitely tracking me because since I watched Kraft Super Show.
Yeah.
Now my recommendations are every other Kraft TV show they have. So they must have gotten like, you know, some sale on this stuff. They got the Bay City Rollers variety show. Come on. Lidsville. Oh my God, Lidsville.
Who did Amazon buy? Was it MGM? It was MGM.
I thought MGM was But I thought MGM is Disney now. Or no, 20th Century is Disney.
That was 20th Century Fox. I think Amazon bought MGM and their whole catalog. So
wow.
I'm sure they're just going through the archives going like, digitize that. Put that on there.
Right.
Like, we'll see if anybody watches that. And then they're like, there's one guy in Florida. He keeps watching all the cross stuff. So, all right, then just bombard him with this stuff.
Well, and the thing that's funny about Kraft Super Show is they filmed it. Well, they obviously filmed the different serials on a soundstage. But the Crofts had an urban amusement park in Atlanta.
Really?
That was like a garage that they converted. It was called the Kraft Underground.
Oh.
And they had stage shows and they had attractions. Like they had a pinball game ride where like you rode in the ball.
Oh.
Really crazy. Like Disney on mushrooms.
I mean, anybody who watches Sid and, you know.
Yeah.
The H.R. Puffin stuff and all that kind of stuff. Like if you've never seen that, you need to look it up because like. Sid and Marty Krofft was definitely like the epitome of the 70s.
Oh, yeah. And they had a bunch of hits.
Yep. They were Land of the Lost, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Sigmund and the Sea Monsters.
Sigmund and the Sea Monsters.
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, the Sleestak scared the shit out of me from Land of the Lost.
Oh, my God. Yep.
Big reptilian. They didn't speak. They just like hissed.
Mm-hmm.
And these big eyes.
And they had like, that box of light up crystals. It was like a Simon game.
Yeah, and it was like in a pyramid.
Yes.
And like
yes.
you turn them and like you could go to different times and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, it's weird. Well,
the kids from that are still doing conventions.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Yep.
That song stuck in my head a couple of weeks ago where out of nowhere I just started going like Marshall, Will and Holly on a routine expedition and I was like, where the fuck did that come from? Like just out of nowhere. I was like, all right, this is weird.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
And then was it like the later season where they found, was it Chachka, the monkey boy thing, the missing link?
Oh,
after the father disappeared and the uncle showed up?
Yeah.
Or was that something else? Chaka.
Yeah. And it was a dude in like a little hair suit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chaka.
Oh, good times.
Well, okay. Who played Chaka? Come on.
Chaka Khan.
Yeah, Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
Apparently it was this child actor's only role. His name was Philip Paley.
Okay.
So if you see him at a con, you know, go spend that $3 to get his autograph because he needs the bucks.
What? Wait, what's his name?
Paul Haley.
H-A-L-L-E-Y?
P-A-L-E-Y.
All right, it doesn't pop
Maybe
up
not.
Anything. Just wondering whether or not like he went on to do something else, you know, like the kid from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
He did four other things in his career. He was on the TV show Apple's Way. He was on the TV show Airwolf. He was in something called Beach Balls.
What did he do in Airwolf?
He was, I don't know, kid. Airwolf, one episode. He played Ernie Wolf.
Oh, that
and then
guy.
in 2020, he was in The Last Page of Summer, where he played, oh, it's, what is this, it's a game? No, it's an animated film. That's a weird cast. Okay. So this movie, The Last Page of Summer, has Chaka, it has Holly, it has Sharon Baird, who was, oh, what was her, well, here, let me just click on it. She's a little person.
Okay.
So she was in Puff and Stuff. She was Shirley Puff and Stuff.
Oh, okay.
And Judy Frog and Stupid Bat. Boy, she's in, well, not a lot, but, you know, enough. She's in Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
The original, 1978.
Oh.
Wow. So many things are interconnected. Yeah.
I just found a 3D model of the Land of the Lost Pylons. I'll make you one. For, like, you can put it in your tiki room, like, just off in a corner somewhere.
Well, somebody did make a Sleestak tiki mug at one point.
Did they?
Yep. Interesting.
Yeah.
What a crazy world.
That's funny. I mean, there's 3D prints for everything.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You got anything else for this week?
Oh. No.
No?
I think I'm done.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on YouTube and Facebook and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Babies are delicious.